Welcome to the Modern Slavery Pack podcast. I am Jakub Sobik, I'm a communications director at the center. The Modern Slavery and Human Rights Policy and Evidence Center, or the Modern Slavery Pack for short, was created to enhance the understanding of modern slavery and transform the effectiveness of laws and policies designed to address it. We are funded by the Arts and Humanities Research Council on behalf of UK Research and Innovation. As one of our key objectives is enhancing the understanding of modern slavery, we're working to promote a high-quality modern slavery research as widely as possible. That means making it accessible to everyone, so more people can learn about the latest evidence of modern slavery. So we came up with an idea for a series of regular lunchtime seminars at which modern slavery researchers share their latest findings. The format is deliberately concise, no more than 15 minutes to present, followed by questions and discussion. So we held the first seminar earlier this month, and we had Professor Alex Hughes from the University of Newcastle talking about modern slavery in the procurement of medical supplies in Malaysia. This was based on a Modern Slavery Pack funded project that she and her great team carried out in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic. So this podcast is a recording of that presentation. It's only a presentation. We didn't record the questions to leave space for good and open discussion during the actual seminar. So if you want to catch the questions next time, please log in and come to the next one. Everyone is welcome. And by the way, we've already announced the next one. It's going to be on Wednesday, 6th of December at midday. And we're going to have Dr. Maria Jovanovic from the University of Essex. She will talk about the identification and support of people with lived experience of modern slavery in UK prisons. As always, check out our website for all the details, sign up to our newsletter and follow us on social media. Now I'm handing over to Professor Alex Hughes. Thank you.
Thank you so much to you, Owen, and all at the Modern Slavery PEC, for organising the seminar series, this talk, and also for your the funding of the research. And it's great to sort of, I would say, see so many people, see so many names, and thanks to all of you for joining this afternoon. So this is very much a co-authored presentation based on a collaborative piece of research that is now moving into follow-on impact and engagement work. So you see all of the logos there, and you know, I've been working in this space with May Truber and Mahmoud Bouta at Sussex, Alex Troutram's at Nottingham in the Rights Lab, and James Brown, who's been working as a research associate on the project as well. And then Impact Limited are an ethical trade consultancy that some people on the call will know about. And they've been involved in the underpinning research and also now working on the engagement work with us as well. So particularly Rosie Hurst, Ben Bostock and Emily Day. So it's really important that I put this across as a collaborative endeavour. So if we move to the next slide, Owen, please. And I think you can drop down all of the bullets there. So just briefly, I want to sort of touch on the changing ways in which modern slavery in global supply chains for healthcare goods, medical supplies, and we've been looking particularly at PPE, personal protective equipment, is being addressed in this presentation, focus more on the demand side, so on the procurement and the purchasing side. And we're considering public procurement systems, practices, management practices for sourcing, but also the public procurement legislation that's framing those systems and practices. And I'll very briefly touch on three particular time periods. Just thinking about the procurement of medical supplies before the pandemic, and particularly the procurement by the NHS through NHS supply chain. Then a reflection on what happened during the height of the COVID-19 pandemic, which was when our underpinning research took place. And then just some points reflecting on the contemporary moment. And the insights are coming from our research that Owen mentioned that was focused specifically on the procurement of these medical gloves that you see in the picture there from Malaysia and procurement by the UK's National Health Service. So we can move on to the next slide. So when we're thinking about public procurement, and I know very much it's not all about public procurement, that's just one set of actors and sort of lever in the supply chain, if you like. But there is a perspective we could take that suggests that government, through its purchasing role, has a mandate to respond to modern slavery issues, and to be a sort of lever for positive change. And so we can look at what's currently happening in this space in terms of effectiveness and challenges and problems, but then also considering public procurement as a potential lever for reducing modern slavery risks in supply chains. And we're drawing in our thinking on some of the work by Gail Raj-Reichardt and colleagues that sort of conceptually recognises socially responsible public procurement as functioning through, and I quote there, this hybrid regulator buyer role where the state, or a government department or a part of the state like the National Health Service is functioning as a purchaser, as a procurer, a buyer, but also is part of the state that is the regulatory apparatus, the governance of supply chains. And it's that blended state role of purchasing and regulation that we're interested in here. And also noting the ways in which that blended role can change over time and does change over time, with implications for procurement systems and practices, and by extension, their effectiveness and limitations in confronting modern slavery. So just onto the next slide. So just a note on the underpinning research and methods. So the project that Owen mentioned was conducted from the latter part of 2020 through to the first part of 2021. So it's funded by Modern Slavery PEC and the Arts and Humanities Research Council. And what we were doing was taking a sort of whole supply chain approach. And the centerpiece methodologically of that project was quite a large scale survey of 1,491 mainly migrant workers who were working in Malaysia in the medical gloves factories. And it's just a note here, don't have time to go into the whole context of production in Malaysia, but just to say that Malaysia is the kind of key producer of these medical gloves. It's that they're for the most part made of synthetic materials now, but there is a link to the rubber industry sort of going back. We then sort of had a deep dive through some just 11 interviews, sort of more in-depth interviews with migrant workers to establish some of the more nuanced lived experiences of labour issues. And then also through the supply chain, we conducted 14 interviews with manufacturers in Malaysia. These were all online at the time of the height of the pandemic, with government officials, suppliers of the gloves, and also crucially procurement managers in the UK. And we did touch base with one Swedish public procurement body. We focused on the 11 ILO forced labour indicators as a framework. And so we assessed what was going on against those indicators. And I'll mention those just in a moment in terms of the key findings. And we were asking interviewees all through the supply chain about their experiences, both before and during the pandemic. What we're now engaged in and in the middle of is some AHRC follow-on impact and engagement funded work to revisit the key recommendations from that research that we made through a summary report that you see on the right of the slide here, that's several pages long, and then a full report that was some 50 to 60 pages long, with sets of key findings, but also recommendations for different stakeholder groups. So we're revisiting those with government departments, with the gloves industry, with the broader PPE sector, with procurement managers as a group, and also we're revisiting some workers, both workers who currently still work in the Malaysian gloves industry and returning workers to Bangladesh and Nepal who were working in the sector previously, to see how grievances have been responded to and what's changed. So I think we move on. No, that's just a bit of a whistle-stop tour of the methods. So pre-pandemic, on the right is a diagram that gives an idea of the supply chain for the gloves right through NHS supply chain through to hospital trusts. And you can sort of see there that NHS supply chain sort of sitting there in the middle. And they use mechanisms of framework agreements, and most healthcare goods and medical supplies are procured centrally through NHS supply chain. There are some differences in terms of regional hubs and hospital trusts, but it's important to note that pivotal role played by NHS supply chain, who then source from distributors, some of which are manufacturer subsidiaries, and who in turn are sort of sourcing from the manufacturers in Malaysia. There have been various sort of labour codes and standards in place, particularly sort of since 2011. Largely these have been sort of labour codes that sort of mirror the ILO conventions or are built on ILO labour conventions and are often voluntary in terms of the take up, and then a sort of audited sometimes by third parties, but according to what was the NHS supply chain labour standards assurance system, but quite a sort of distanciated relationship through the auditing process, often desk based with some factory visits, and the other sort of key parts of governance sort of in this space in terms of legislation. Were pre-pandemic the revisions to EU procurement directives that then enabled procurement to include sustainability and social criteria in their contracts. It's important to note the UK Modern Slavery Act, but acknowledging that obligations were on private businesses and excluding predominantly excluding the public sector in terms of reporting requirements. And the key thing to note here is that despite that sort of that machinery, that governance architecture, there were significant cases of forced labour found in these supply chains, not picked up by LSAS audits and not actioned. So if we move to the next slide, I'm aware of time, so I'll try and move through. So during the COVID-19 pandemic, what you can see on the right hand side of the slide on that diagram is underneath NHS supply chain framework agreements was the Department of Health and Social Care at the time setting up a parallel supply chain to cope with increased demand for gloves. Demand was huge. I won't go into the figures, I don't have time sort of now, but the demand, the rise in demand due to COVID-19 was enormous. So this parallel supply chain was set up and still sourcing through the distributors from the same manufacturers. But this an increased demand for medical gloves saw a shift in power through to the gloves suppliers and manufacturers. There's increased pressure on workers and some issues with operating the labour standards assurance system through audit, which had to be conducted remotely. Procurement purchasing had to happen at pace during this time. And what our survey showed was that looking at those 11 indicators of forced labour, there were certain sort of long-standing issues: abuse of vulnerability, deception, physical and sexual violence, intimidation and threats, retention of identity documents and withholding wages that were shown to remain constant as issues during the pandemic. And then the survey showed that sort of the areas of restriction on movement and isolation, abuse of working and living conditions, and excessive overtime that have been entrenched as labour issues were exacerbated during the pandemic, not caused by them, but increased. And then one indicator around debt bondage, there were some improvements, which was around the repayment of recruitment fees. And that was largely, interestingly, in light of the US import bans on some areas of manufacturing, some companies during the pandemic. So that we could reflect on later. So if we move on. This is just an infographic. I mean, there are links to the report on the Modern Slavery PEC website, where you can see a lot more detail. But it is just noting, I guess, just to pull out in the bottom left-hand side of the slide, 51% of our surveyed workers reporting congested accommodation, for example. And then on the bottom right-hand side of the slide, 10% reported receiving no days off on average in the 3 months running up to the survey, and 31% of surveyed workers having just one day off per month, just as examples of the issues. We move on. So in terms of what's happening now, and we're revisiting our various recommendations on improving grievance mechanisms and improving that lever for change that we would suggest that state procurement has. But we're looking at some shifts. The UK procurement bill now has just been awaiting royal assent and then some secondary legislation. The modern slavery bill amendment that was expected has been stalled, but the Health and Care Act 2022 makes specific provisions on modern slavery. So there is some change in the legal space. And then NHS labour standards policy is changing, with NHS England updating its standard contracts, strengthening the position on modern slavery, extending requirements and the option to terminate for breaches of social and labour laws. So that's moving, as is the NHS sort of central value model. So I think if we move on, because we can revisit various parts of this. And this is just, I mean, acknowledging that it was a small number of workers who we spoke to as part of the impact and engagement follow-on project. So this isn't the survey now, it's a smaller group of workers just to touch base and enable that worker voice to come through. Where we've seen recruitment fees, payment no longer demanded in quite the same way, and that is as partially we understand as a result of the US import bans and the issues that have been raised there. And we've seen some positive change in terms of recruitment fees being reimbursed. So again, that area of debt bondage is altering. So if we move on. So, and then I think we just dropped down all the bullet points there, Owen, thanks. So I have moved through a lot of this fairly swiftly, but just hopefully given you an idea of what the underpinning research was focused on, and then to make clear that this work is continuing through further engagement with state, commercial, third sector actors. So a key point is that we do see that public procurement has a mandate to prevent modern slavery. And I think my sense of researching supply chains and global supply chains for a very long time is that that role of public procurement has been somewhat overlooked in research and in the literature, and it operates in a very different way to sort of how purchasing practices and systems in the consumer goods sectors, where brand name companies are the buyers. And I'm very happy to discuss a little more about that in Q&A. And so understanding that sort of that role of public sector procurement systems, but also the key role of procurement law in that. And another key shift going on sort of beyond the UK is the new EU due diligence legislation that is just about to come through. But procurement is made real then in relation to changing law is a key point. NHS procurement, we're talking about that specifically in practice, is operating in multiple ways through codes, guidance, risk assessment is significant, decision making that gives substance to legislation. And it's that awareness of that supply chains crossing national borders, which means multiple multiple kinds of legislation, national state regulatory architectures. So it's appreciating that translation of legislation across those spaces into decision making on contract awards, monitoring suppliers, and then responding to issues of modern slavery when it's found through corrective action, through contract termination, to understand effectiveness of procurement in addressing modern slavery. So we're interested in the research, and then currently in our engagement work with stakeholders is that in the intertwining of sort of legal, commercial and socio-political influences that can be understood as conjunctures presenting in different ways across different times and places. Okay, and I'll leave it there. Thanks.